That is supposed to be our man's nature, isn't it? We judge. If it doesn't fit in our box, they are different. But God created us all equal. Our ideas may be different, but He created us all equal. Let's pray. Father God, I pray for your anointing. I pray, Father God, that the word that will come out of my mouth is the word that you're wanting us to hear, Father. And I pray, Father God, that these words that you're wanting us that you are wanting to say to us, will get into our heart, penetrate our heart, and truly, truly believe that you are God in control of everything. That there will be no more doubt, no more why, no more questions, why did it happen? Father, we completely surrender to you, Lord. So fill us all with your Holy Spirit that we would be able to digest these words, oh God. Because you alone are our God. No one else, nothing else. And we would be nothing without you. I pray that you bless each and every one here right now, Father God. That you call them for this purpose of hearing, for your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Right. What is Psalm 50, 15? Right. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. That is the main topic of trusting God. He said, call upon me. He did not say, think yourself and do what you want to do, but call upon me. So, but why did God want us to know that He is in control of everything? Before we digest and go into the scriptures, let us know His purpose. Number one purpose is for us to glorify Him and acknowledge His sovereignty and goodness. What is sovereignty? When God is sovereign, He is the only one that has sovereign over us. Little sovereign of your boss to your work as an employee. Little sovereignty of your parents to you as your children. But God is sovereign in all of us, in everything. So number one purpose, why we should trust God even when life hurts, is to glorify Him by acknowledging His sovereignty and goodness. And the next purpose is to encourage us by demonstrating from the scripture in control of our lives that He loves us. God loves us. And that works, or whatever is the circumstance, everything works for good in our lives. Whatever you're passing through, whatever is on your way, everything works for good. I have been through so much in my life, got to be. From the age of from being taken out of my little fishing village, going to the hustles and bustles of Manila to study. It is not easy when you don't even know how to, like when I came in here, don't even know how to use the washing machine. Yeah. Those things, like the vacuum cleaner, it takes a time to know them, isn't it? Because all of a sudden it's a new environment. Then we came here, everything is different. The only thing that we know is turn the lights on. In my time, if we have calculator, gadget. Now, you don't even use calculator, right? In my time, this is my calculator, 1, 2, 3. But anyway, this is one thing hard with this. It keeps on going out of course. So, every generation is different. What we're experiencing now is very different a generation ago. And so, even when we go back to the Middle Ages, to the to the up to now, to the 20th, 21st century, you would see it's a different style, different life style. In fact, we are getting, the world is getting better and better, remember? Before people here in the Western world, they are used to having a bag on the on those big tub, and every after one after another, they don't have to throw the water because it's still hot. They could still, the next guy would use it again and again. But now, just turn on your shower or fill up your bathtub, and then let it go, and then have it. It's different, but it's better. But still, there's one thing that is true. Life is still difficult. Would you agree? Life, there's always adversities along the way. It could be illness, finances, relationship, death, frustrations, loneliness. Even sometimes we have to bear the pain of others. Sometimes life is smooth and pleasant, which I believe we are all experiencing now. But we don't know what the future holds. But there is certainty. Okay, question. Is God in control? Because we always, what we do, 1 Timothy 6:15. First time kong gumamit, tawag kayo magreklamo. I was doing this last night, and I thought, yung font which is 20 or 30 is good enough. Hindi pala, next time I'll know. Right. I'll just read. Okay, use your glasses. Which he will manifest his own time, the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He, why would you believe that? That says God is in control. The providence of God is in constant care for, and his absolute power rule over all the nation. Put that in your brain. His absolute role, rule, and constant care. When you say constant, continuous. Whatever time, wherever, or whatever you're doing, his constant care is on you. Nothing, not even the smallest virus, can escape his care and control. Because why? At the moment, we're always asking, why do we have the virus? As if. Okay, under Tim, when we say that God is in control, we must remember that nothing that exists are not, nothing that exists from the grass to the trees to everything in this earth, as I have said, even the smallest virus, are sustained by the continuous sustaining of action, of the action of God. Even you walk from here to the toilet, you are continuously sustained by the Lord. Every movement that we do is continuously under the rule and sovereignty of God. When he created the universe, he sustained the universe with the law of nature. Because when you create something to continue living, it has to have something on it, like the earth. There got to be wind, there got to be sun, there got to be rain, there got to be sunshine. It is not like a balloon. It has to contain power of nature to exist. But those are all nothing but the expression of God's love to us. God did not simply create and walk away. If you think after the creation, he rested and he walked away. No, he is continuously with us, sustaining us. God also governs. He is the ruler of all things, as in Chronicles 29:12. The blessed and only one ruler. His rule is invincible. We cannot say, but we could see the manifestation on how we're living. Look at all of us. We're all healthy, beautiful, smiling, complete. No one has three legs. All of us has two legs. No one has three eyes. All of us has two. When he created us perfectly. When we became imperfect, because we did it. But then as we continue, you will ask, why are there imperfect person like the blind, the paraplegics? We will continue that. Just listen, according to Brother Paul, sit down, don't go away.
Relax. Stay put.
Remember that his ways are higher than our ways. Now the title of our talk today is Trusting God, Even When Life Hurts. His judgments are unsearchable. His paths are beyond tracking out. You cannot even track the footsteps of the Lord because he is God. Although we always question the sovereignty of God because we don't understand what God is doing. Who understands what God is doing? God has an absolute control. Then you might say questions like, why are there disasters? Why are there floods? We will go into that. God, in his control, allows pain. When we say, but God loves me, why am I in pain? Why did I experience this? God loves us. Do you know what love is? In love, there should be freedom. If there is no freedom, that's not love, that is control. If a person is controlling, that's not love, that's possession.
Yes.
Isn't it? Because love, and so because God so loved us, he gave us freedom to choose. Freedom to think. Freedom to act. And whatever is the consequence, unless we ask him, it is your problem. Still, yet, it is your problem, but you could still come back to him anytime. That is our God. Remember when the Israelites left Egypt? They were so poor. They don't have anything. But they prayed. And in Exodus 3:21-22 and 12:35-36, God provided. You know what he said? The Israelites did, you know what did God said? You will be provided. So Moses instructed them and asked the Egyptians for silver and gold and clothing. And God, the Lord, made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave what they asked for. You read your Exodus 3:21-22. They are living a country, but God made the people to provide for their trip. Well, what we only saw when we read this is they were followed by the Pharaoh and were trying to kill them and have them back. No, God provided. And all those 40 years in wilderness, even their shoes did not break. At least it's not made in China. So perhaps they're made of straw materials. 40 years, people were born, people died. Question, why does God permit evil? What is evil? Things that people do to you that hurt you. Remember Joseph? What did his brother do to him? They sold him. Yeah, but their first attempt was to kill him, isn't it? Except for the oldest one, Reuben. And you know the history why Reuben stopped, because he is the firstborn. In the olden days, their culture is The firstborn is always the one that carries the shame of the family. He carries the judgment. Everything is in his shoulder. Same as in the Chinese culture now. If the father of the family died, the oldest son always carries the burden. So perhaps they took it from the Bible too. What happened to Joseph? He was sold to the traders. Yes, but did God stop that? Imagine you being sold by your family, your siblings, and that is evil. You did evil. Somebody did evil to you. Why did God permit that? So when also remember when Joseph was with the Pharaoh and Potiphar's wife, accused him of doing something to her, which is not really true. Did Joseph say, "I didn't"? God allowed it. Why? Because everything is intended for good. That God was able to accomplish what he is intending to happen. Joseph was in the world of famine then, and he was able to save many, many lives. Sometimes God hardens the heart of the people. Why would he do that if he loves me? That's to accomplish his purpose. So how are we looking at it? What is his purpose? Why would he allow this to happen to me? What is his purpose? Everything works for good. It's like a puzzle. They're so scattered. One fits here, the other doesn't fit, and fit them until the drawing, or until the puzzle is completed. But along the way, you try take it away, you try take it away. It's like life. We try to do something, it won't work. And then somewhere along the way, there are stumbling blocks, right? When I was studying, there came a time when my mom could not sustain my university anymore. I have to be working. Work on daytime and study at night until 10 or 11 o'clock. One thing good with the Hey Kiwis, our university in the Philippines teaches until 12 o'clock at night. So that's what I did until I finished. And yet all the while what I finished, I wasn't able to use here. Yes, so God permits evil to accomplish a purpose. When we take a look at something that someone did to us, we hate them. We talk about them. We abhor. We won't talk to them until your grave will not forgive you. But take a look later. It worked for good. You are in a better position. But do you look at it? No. You still don't talk to them. You cannot forgive. I'll never, ever, ever. So what I'm trying to say to you is to look at things that happen in your life God's way. If you're walking out there and you stumble, or you're driving and your car won't go for a few minutes or what, and you're getting angry, how do we know that there's something happening along the way? Look at it that way, and what we do is thank God. At the end, the purpose will be accomplished. But then you ask, how about the weather? We're all affected by the weather, isn't it? I feel gloomy when it's dark and raining, because why can't I do anything? Just stay at home. Read the Bible. Oh, don't love, brother. I do sometimes. But the lure of the television is better. Right, God's control over the weather. We are all affected. The inconvenience with it, or sometimes we just became a victim of nature. When it's hot, we complain. It's very hot. When it's cold, we complain. It's very cold. God established this physical law by which he governs the forces of nature. Why is there winter, summer, and fall, and spring? The forces of nature is to continuously, so that the world will continuously going round and round the circle perfectly well. 365 days, the sun goes around us. Why? Can you fathom that? Can you understand that? And we are complaining about the weather. His creation. Teka, Brad, ano na yung sunod? Oh, wala pa. Okay. Complaining about the weather is an ungodly habit, and I'm guilty. We are complaining about the weather. When God, who sent us our weather, as in Numbers 11:1, not only we sin when we complain, we also deprive ourselves of the peace from recognizing the Heavenly Father is in control of it. See? If you complain, what are you, is your feeling? Negative, isn't it? Yeah. So you deprive yourself of the joy of sitting on the TV and on the couch. You deprive yourself of knowing that God is in control of everything. So, what about the natural disasters? Why? The large scale like earthquake, typhoons, flood, tsunami, famine, where thousands or millions of people are killed or starved to death. Well, we may ask why God allowed this to happen. The answer, Isaiah 45:7. Where is it? 45:7? Okay. Psalm 45:7. God controls the weather. Isaiah 45:7. I formed the light and created darkness. I make peace and created calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. If you know that God is sovereign, read this. I, the Lord, created everything. I formed the light and created darkness. The only way, there's another way to be able to understand that God is sovereign and control. Just read, in the beginning, God created. And after his creation, he rested, but he did not go away. Oops. Right. So God controls the weather. In Job 37:3, he sends it forth under the whole heavens, his lightning to the ends of the earth. For he says to the snow, fall on the earth, likewise to the gentle rain and the heavy rain of his strength. Heavy rain, light rain. By the breath of God, ice is given, and the broad waters are frozen. Also with moisture, he saturates the thick clouds. He scatters his bright clouds. And they swirl about, being turned by his guidance, that they may do whatever he commands them on the face of the whole earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for his land, or for mercy. So those are the three reasons. He causes it either to correct us or for the land that he created or for his mercy. God is a merciful God. So now we know. When something happens, like now, where are we now? We're having a pandemic. The only known word I know is pan, which is bread. Demic, I don't know. Right, so they call it pandemic because it has affected the whole world. But before this generation, there were wars in Europe, were wars in the Middle East, wars all over. So this pandemic that we're experiencing now will work for good. We don't know. Perhaps it is the change this time of the generation, where the gadgets and technology will be working more. You know what? The AI are very commonly used now in some countries. In fact, it is used here too. In fact, many years ago, this artificial intelligence, the robots, this might be the opening of a new generation, because coronavirus won't be gone. It will be a part of illness, like cancer, like flu, like colds. Because there will be, if we have colds, we get lymphocytes. When there will be coronavirus, there will be an injection. But this will be now the new normal. We are not going to go back, because this is another virus that has come into this world for what? As we have said, either it's for God's correction, for the land, or for His mercy. It's either to wake us up, it's either to let us know that He is in control, and therefore we have to come back and call back to Him. So, as we continue, okay, let us go to how about physical affliction? How about those that were born, birth defects, even though illnesses like HIV, cancer, and all of the above, which until now has no medical relief? Is God sovereign over these aspects of life? Is He in control of this? Let's go to John 9:2. Remember when this guy, the blind man, was they asked Jesus, "Hey, is he blind because his parents are sinners?" You know what Jesus said in John 9:2? "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." Take a handful of pebbles. Would you see anything there similar? They're all different. If God created us all the same, same look, same face, same gender, everything same and perfect, what are we? How can God display His magnificence, His sovereignty, if we don't see other things? What can we compare ourselves with? How can we see the glory of God? What are we? Robots. Because they could create robots all the same, looking, action, controlled. But God is a loving God. He created us to be able to enjoy His creation and not to complain about it. So how about physical affliction? When God called Moses to lead the Israelites out of Egypt, Moses protested, and God said, "Who gave man his mouth? Who makes him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" Now you can complain, and then why did you make me blind? Or why did you make me paraplegic? Do we have the right to ask God? The thing and the only thing that we should put in our mind is God is in control of everything, and things all work for good. God is sovereign. God's sovereignty does not do away with our duty to act responsibly. Because there are people with infirmities that use that infirmities to save lives and to be a blessing to other people. You are not, for example, you became deaf or blind or what, you just sit in the corner. God still give you other abilities. As much as those with two hands and two legs. As much as those with eyes. That is to glorify God. Because the main purpose of knowing God is in control and sovereign is because for His glory and for us. That to know that everything works for His good. With God's infinite wisdom, His good judgment, and the best response to the given situation, whatever situation we are in, is to realize that God is in control and sovereign after all. Are we going to live 100 years? Perhaps 70 or more if you're healthy. What is the best action when some things affect your life? God, His wisdom, which is more displayed. You know, God's wisdom is more displayed when He brings good out of calamity rather than out of blessings. Yeah, it's more, Psalm 147, it tells more about Him who created everything. The lesson I wanting to learn from this, the lesson that I want you also to learn from this is above everything, God is in control. God and His wisdom. So, we have to experience God's love. Just being in this world already is a privilege. I have a brother and a sister that both died at the age of 21. One is by illness and one is by accident. My older sister became sick of pneumonia when she was 21 and I was just a wee bit old. My brother was studying in Fiat University. He did have an accident at 21. So I told my mom, will I pass 21? I did. Praise the Lord. And that was a long, long time ago. Okay, anyway, what should we do? Choose to trust God. Give thanks always. Worship Him. Learn to forgive. Pray for deliverance. And seek God's glory. Never mind what's going into your life. It's a part of life. Live with it. Yeah, it's a part of living. Along the way, you young people, you will be passing through so many things. But every step is a step of strength and victory. If you trust Him, if you know that God is our sovereign Lord and in control. Choose to trust Him on Psalm 56:34. And then, to the foundation of a life lived in communion with God. Do not let anything happen without you communing with God. He's there, always ready, with you, listening. The kingdom, do not seek for it. It is in your heart. It is just there. All you have to do is commune. Communion with God and everything changes. The life of a Christian is the wonderful life. The life of knowing that God is in control is the best life. Nothing could bow you down. Nothing could pull you down. Why? Because you are the child of the sovereign God. His sovereignty, His wisdom, His love. We must lay hold of this great truth in little or big trials. As we say, we do independence of enabling the power of His Holy Spirit. And then you stood up and say, I can trust God. Before I end this, I'm wanting to read to you a poem by Annie Johnston Flint. Annie Johnston Flint wrote the 100 poems. She was born crippled. All her life, she has that crippling arthritis that every move in her whole body hurts. That he was like curled in her bed all her life. But what she did is wrote poems that praise the Lord. What would you say? Why was she born? After all, she's just in bed the whole year, the whole life. You know, she used it to be a blessing to others. And one of his poem in his 100 poems says, "Believe in God through suffering." She said, "He giveth more grace when the burden grows greater. He sendeth more strength when the labor increases. To added afflictions, he added more mercy. To multiplied trials, he multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance and our strength has failed and the day has done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries, no known to man. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." God bless you all. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Okay. But thank you, Father, for giving us the insight that you alone, O God, are God. Let us all, Son of God and Father, in front of you, saying that we trust you. You are our God. You are our sovereign God. In Jesus' name. Amen.